Now, in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, I begin reading at verse 11, after we pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are grateful tonight for thy continued blessings upon us. We thank thee for the opportunity to gather in a comfortable place where we have a baptistry. We don't have to go out and look for a place. Where we have comfortable pews and air conditioning. Where we have an organized program of teaching and preaching the Word. Now we pray that as the book is open, as we've come to the most important time of the service, when the Word of God shall be proclaimed, we pray that it might be preached with power, under the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Christ might be honored, that souls might be saved, and that people might be added to this fellowship of believers even tonight. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And with thanksgiving, amen. Now in Daniel chapter 6, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with a signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded and brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. I have never read a story like that in all of my life. There is not another story in any language, in any book, that will compare. This is the most fantastic, the most exciting, the most dramatic story that I know anything about. It is by far the most dramatic story in the life of the prophet Daniel. It is the story of men, lions, and angels. And that's the topic of my message tonight in the continuing series of messages on the book of Daniel. Men, lions, and angels. Let us first consider men. The story of the Bible is the story of men. In fact, the history of the world is the story of men. Take men out of the history of the world and there is no history left. Take men out of the Bible and there is no story of the Bible. God has used men, instruments of clay. God has always used human instrumentalities. Now, God does not have to have us, but isn't it a marvel of His grace that He has chosen to use us to glorify His Son? In this particular story, two men are in the limelight, Darius and Daniel. These two men are poles apart. They are opposites, if you've ever seen two opposites. Let's look for a moment at Darius. Darius is a king. He ruled in subordination to Cyrus, the king of Persia. When the Babylonians in 536 BC were marched against by the Medes and Persians, Babylon fell into the hands of Cyrus and Darius. They are signaled individually as the two horsemen seen in the prophecy of Isaiah. When then the Babylonians fell, Darius was given this portion of the great worldwide Babylonian empire. Daniel, on the other hand, is a prophet. Daniel made history because he was God's man. There are many, altogether too many, Dariuses in the world tonight. And there are altogether too few Daniels. Would to God that we had more men like Daniel, the prophet of God, who would stand in the face of a king, give the interpretation of a dream or the handwriting on a wall without fear of what might happen to his life. Daniel, a man who dared to pray in spite of the fact that he prayed under a death sentence. I dare say there's not a person in this audience tonight who has ever prayed under the sentence of death. We find it so easy, do we not, to neglect the place of prayer? We're so busy and so encumbered with other things in life that we find very little time to pray. By the way, how many of you, not any showing of hands, but how many of you have ever prayed for 1 hour in your life? I mean continuously. 30 minutes? 20 minutes? 10 minutes? Maybe you ought to time yourself sometime. He was a man who prayed 3 times a day. Darius represents everything that's evil, ungodly, sensuous, proud, and sinful. Daniel, on the other hand, represents the opposite, that which is good and noble and kind and godly in the world. And I'm glad there is still an influence for God in the world tonight. I'm glad that there are still some people all over the world who dare to serve God. Only he who now letteth or hindereth doth hinder. Once the Holy Spirit is taken out with believers, I wouldn't want to be on this earth to see what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit of God and all the believers are taken out. The influence for God and right and righteousness is seen in the life and in the person of Daniel. Our world of the 20th century needs men. We need tonight, in the words of Paul, some men who will quit themselves as men and face the challenge of this hour. Never has Christianity and Christendom had such an opportunity as we have tonight. When, before the 20th century, were there so many means of communication? Radio, television, all kinds of transportation to take the gospel around the world. We face our greatest challenge. But the tragedy of it all is there are far too few who are willing to stand up as men and be counted for Christ in the world tonight. We need in our world of the 20th century men who are nay men. That is, men who will say no to the devil and no to temptation and no to the easy way out. Sometimes the hardest word in the English language to pronounce is the word no. But we need some men tonight who have the courage to say no. We need, on the other hand, some yea men in the world of Christianity tonight. Worth Baptist Church needs some yea men, some men who will say yes to the challenge of building a class, of building a Sunday school, of winning lost souls, of sending the gospel around the world. We need some yea men. We need, on the other hand, some say men, some men who will speak up for Christ. It's easy to speak up for the Lord on Sunday, in church, on the pew. You couldn't hardly do anything else. But it's a far, far different thing to speak up for Christ on the job on Monday morning. I pray that God will give us some hangovers. We can have something hanging over on Monday morning that we got on Sunday in church. If our religion doesn't go with us on the job, if our Christianity isn't strong enough to stand the test on Monday morning, it's altogether too weak on Sunday. God give us some say men. Then God give us some pay men tonight. Some men who are willing to pay the price. I'm not speaking in terms of dollars and cents, though we need that. I don't believe there's a church in America tonight that gives any more proportionately to its membership size than our church. So I'm leaving out dollars and cents. You can just sit back and relax for a moment. Of course, if your tithe's in the storehouse already, you can relax anyhow. I never heard a tither talk about a preacher talking about money. Never in my life have I ever heard anybody who consistently tithe. So I'm not talking about dollars and cents. I'm talking about some men who are willing to pay the price of prayer. 9:30 on Sunday morning, I find far too few men in the prayer room. Saturday night, I find far too men on their knees in prayer. Wednesday night prayer meeting, I find far too few men around the altar in prayer. We need some men who are willing to pay the price of being a Christian. I'm not a prophet. Don't call me Daniel or Isaiah or any of these others. I'm not worthy to be so classed. But I'm going to say tonight what I believe with all of my heart. The time will come in your lifetime when you're going to have to pay a price to be a Christian. You're not paying anything now. We're on easy street. We don't know what sacrifice is. We don't know what trials are. We don't know what problems are. Did anybody accost you on the way to church tonight and threaten you for your life if you came to this place? No. When you woke up this morning, the sun was shining and the birds were chirping, nobody pounded on your door and forbade you to come to this place to worship God today. How many of you know anybody in jail tonight because of their testimony for Christ? You know anybody whose head's been cut off? I don't. Last one I heard about was John the Baptist. That was just a shortcut to heaven, if you'll pardon the pun. Beloved, we need some men tonight who are willing to pay the price. I have far too few men. I'm just going to tell it like it is now tonight. We've got far too few men who are out here on Tuesday night knocking on doors. Far too few. Oh, you say, preacher, you don't understand my schedule. I do know that we have some men who don't even eat supper. They come to church first. And then they go back and close up the business or go back and eat supper. We've got far too men out knocking on doors from this church. Getting awful quiet in here now, isn't it? I'm saying that to say this. We in the 20th century are not willing to pay the price. God give us men who will pay. Communism cost. Now, you talk about a religion that cost. Communism cost. The communists don't stop at 10%. They give 100%. The communists don't stop at giving an hour or 2 hours a week. They give every spare moment that they have to their cause. And the false cults and the false religions in our world tonight will put us to shame. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for example. I'll just call them by name. They're out knocking on doors all day. Every day. They're combing the city. This so-called charismatic movement that's on in the world tonight. They're out busy getting people engaged to their breakfast and to their suppers and to their special meetings to prove by some jibber-jabber that they have the gift of the Holy Spirit, when it's absolutely, positively anti-scriptural and anti-biblical. Why is it that those in error are making greater strides than those who have the truth? I say again, we need some paymen, men who are willing to pay the price. God give us men. Listen to this. God give us men. A time like this demands strong minds, great hearts, true faith, and ready hands. Men whom the lust of office does not kill. Men whom the spoils of office cannot buy. Men who possess opinions and a will. Men who have honor. Men who will not lie. Men who can stand before a demagogue and damn his treacherous flatteries without winking. Tall men. Sun-crowned men who live above the fog in public duty and private thinking. For while the rabble with their thumb-worn creeds, their large professions and their little deeds mingle in selfish strife, lo, freedom weeps, wrong rules the land, and waiting justice sleeps. God give us men. We need some men like Daniel on the scene tonight. Then there are the lions. Why are lions ferocious, carnivorous, flesh-eating beast? God never intended for them to be. I'll tell you why. Because of S-I-N, sin. In the fall of mankind, the whole creation fell. One day the curse will be lifted. I point you to Romans chapter 8, verse 21 through verse 23. Let me read those words for you tonight to show you how that the creation itself is groaning for redemption. Listen to it. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. One day, when Jesus Christ comes to establish His kingdom upon the earth, the Bible tells us that the little children will play with the lions in the street. The curse will be lifted. The lions come into the picture here as tools of wicked men. It was a form of punishment in the days of the Medes and Persians, and it carried over into the New Testament era in the government of the Romans. If you could go with us to Rome and see the Circus Maximus, the great area where multiplied thousands, literally thousands of Christians, were thrown to lions and had their bodies pulled apart because of their testimony for Christ. And most of us have not even had a dog to bark at us lately. And these early Christians were thrown to lions by the thousands. They were martyred for Christ. These lions in this den, and notice the wording. It doesn't say the lion's den. It says a den of lions. There's a lot of difference between I wouldn't mind going into a lion's den if there weren't any lions there. You wouldn't either. But they went, Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. That's like saying somebody's thrown into a furnace. That wouldn't be so bad if there's no fire. Oh, you might get a little soot on you, but you can take a bath and get that off. But when there's fire there, it's different. Daniel then was thrown into a den of lions because he prayed. There was a moratorium of 30 days. Nobody can pray except to Darius. This man made the biggest fool out of himself of any man in history. He signed a decree that tickled his fancy and tickled his ego, made him a god, a deity, and yet in the same day he's brought from a deity to a dupe. He's the one that's in the den of lions, really. Signing the decree that he knew could not be changed. And the Bible tells us, and I read it to you, how that they put Daniel in a den of lions and shut up the den so that the decree could not be changed concerning Daniel. But you know, I believe Daniel had a good night's rest that night. He slept more than Darius did. The Bible says Darius didn't sleep any at all. Book doesn't tell me that Daniel didn't sleep. I can see him now. He's 90 years old. His hair is white. His shoulders are stooped. He's thrown into a den of lions. But you know, God had already spoken to him. Somehow I believe that God said now to the lions, one of my servants is coming down to spend the night with you. Be good to him. Watch over him. Take care of him. Let him sleep on your shaggy old mane tonight. And I believe somehow in my mind I can picture that while Daniel slept, what would be... Did you ever see a dog lying down? Now, you don't fool around with lions much, but you do with cats and dogs, and you see how they breathe so easily. They know how to breathe. That's before they don't have any throat problems. They just breathe so rhythmically and so automatically. And I can just imagine what it might be to lay your head down on the bosom of a lion and sleep all night. Get rocked to sleep by the breathing of a lion. Somehow I believe that two or three of them stayed awake all night and marched up in front of the den. Just didn't let anybody come in to hurt Daniel. Oh, doesn't the Bible say somewhere in Psalm 127 that God giveth his beloved sleep? Daniel was the beloved of God, and God gave him sleep that night. While Darius is turning and tossing on a sleepless bed, the man of God is sleeping in a den of lions. That's just like God, isn't it? I'm glad we serve such a God as that tonight. Why, Daniel probably got the best night's sleep he'd had in a long time. All of his accusers were around to see what was going to happen. They were listening for the cats to open their mouths. Closest I've ever been to one is at a zoo somewhere. And I just stand back and watch them open up that big old jaw and slap down those teeth and slap each other with their paw. Why, a man wouldn't stand a chance in an environment like that. But God was with him. Men and lions and angels. Angels are all throughout the biblical record tonight. One went down and woke up a fellow in the New Testament. His name was Peter. James had been put to death by Herod Agrippa, and they had such a show that Herod decided he'd take Peter too. It was such a sport to kill somebody that Herod Agrippa said, I'll get Peter tomorrow. But God got him that night. Can you imagine? Peter is down there in the jail asleep between two Roman soldiers. The angel has to come down and nudge him and say, Peter, wake up! Don't you know you're going to have your head cut off tomorrow? Wake up. And the prison doors opened, and you know the rest of the story. An angel came to Hagar out yonder in the wilderness in the wild and spoke to her about her son Ishmael by Abraham. An angel, or angels, plural, descended upon Jacob's ladder. An angel came and announced the birth of Jesus. Angels ministered to him in the time of his temptation. Angels strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Angels announced his resurrection. Angels announced his return. Angels will accompany him when he comes in Revelation to take vengeance upon the earth and establish his kingdom. Angels are seen in John's vision of heaven around the throne with the 24 elders. Here the angel of the Lord came and delivered Daniel. First, this is the first case on record of lockjaw. They locked the jaws. They shut the mouths of the lions. And Paul gives us a commentary in Hebrews 11. What shall I more say? Time would not permit me to tell of Samuel and Samson and Jephthah and David and of the prophets and Barak and all of the others who, through faith, quenched the violence of fire, wrought righteousness, brought down kingdoms, and stopped the mouths of lions. That was being written about Daniel by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11. I can picture Daniel the next morning when Darius comes and hollers out at Daniel, "O Daniel, is thy God whom thou continuously serve, is he able?" And Daniel answered back, "O king, live forever. Everything's all right." You know, really, that's the way the king wanted it to turn out. Because when he put Daniel in, he said, "Daniel, I believe your God is able to deliver you." And the end of that story tells us that they took the accusers of Daniel, the men who had accused him, and threw them to the den of lions, and before they ever hit the bottom, they were torn apart. You know what that says to me? That God wasn't just fooling around, and God wasn't joking when he said through his prophet Isaiah, "Touch not mine anointed one." There's something to it tonight. You cannot lay hand upon the prophet and the servant of God without paying a price for it. If he needs to be corrected, God can do it. "Touch not mine anointed, and do my servants no harm." They learned the lesson with the whole family being thrown into a den of lions. Men, lions, and angels. We are all men. We are subject to the temptations of the flesh, the weaknesses, the unbelief, the problems, the difficulties of life. But thank God there are angels. Thank God there are deliverers from our den of lions. Paul had his. John the Baptist had his. Peter had his. You and I must have ours. Someone might ask, "But why does not God always deliver?" I answer you, he does always deliver. But what about John the Baptist? He had his head cut off. What about Paul? He had his head cut off. What about Peter? He was crucified upside down. But God delivered them in a different way. He delivered them, promoted them right on into the glory world. God always delivers. What about that loved one of yours that you prayed for who had a serious disease, an illness, and they did not recover, they died? God still delivered them. He delivered them from something that could have been worse. Even through death, God delivers. You and I have our lion's dens tonight. The old song that is a favorite of all, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Should I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word." Yes, there are men, and there are lions, and thank God they're angels. I read in Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him, and delivereth them." Did you know that the angels are encamped about you tonight? Doesn't matter where you go or how you go, the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. There's an old song that I haven't heard in a long time that goes, the words of it, something like this. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me on thy snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear me on thy snowy wings to my immortal home. Yes, there are men and there are lions, but thank God, there are angels. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, tonight we truly thank thee for these moments together in thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We thank thee for the angel of the Lord who watches over us when even we are unaware of it. We pray tonight that thou wouldst take this message that's been delivered from lips of clay, drive it home to the hearts of these people here tonight. If there be those without the Savior, may they come to trust him. If there be those who need to come and pray, may they come about this altar. Even some who this morning wanted to come and felt that they should have come but did not. Maybe some who are here tonight even for the first time, may they come and pray. Dear Lord, I pray for those who are making decisions about their church membership. May the Holy Spirit lead them to do the right thing at the right time in the right spirit. Is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake.